2 weeks ago, we met with Eric Schmidt in this very studio, and he has returned again to tell us what has been going on with the Olympics site, the NBCOlympics.com site. So, Eric, how have you been?
I've been good.
Yeah?
A little sleep deprived, like most of the team, but I'm good. Yeah.
You're still moving.
Yeah, we're still moving, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, you launched the site like a week and a half ago, Tuesday night, I think.
Yeah, we basically went live with live streams out of Beijing on early Tuesday morning 2 weeks ago, a couple days before the opening ceremonies, where we broadcast the men's kind of gymnastics warm-up, and then we did the ladies the next night. Mm-hmm. So that was basically footage inside of the stadium. No one was really in there. People were just kind of getting acclimated with the environment. And then we went live with events Wednesday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And that was an interesting process. Uh-huh. It was, you know, that first night we all got on the call bridge. So there's people all over, you know, all over the world, mm-hmm. you know, from CDNs to NBC to Microsoft, et cetera. And it was kind of fun to hear, you know, hey, cameras go, feeds live, encoders are running, and then you see it on the screen and everything looked good. So
great.
Since then, we haven't looked back.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, definitely, like, the realization of this project, which you'd been planning for a year and a half, or no, 8 months or something.
Yeah, MSN and the core Silverlight team, we really were in kind of earnest architectural design mm-hmm. last November, basically.
Okay.
And then we started the hardcore development right after the holidays, so in January, and then, you know, worked all the way through till launch.
Yeah. So that was the kind of the warm-up, I guess, right? Because that, you know, the Olympics started on the 6th, some of the games, I think, and then the big opening ceremony, though, was the 8th.
Right.
So that was the big show.
Yeah, so we kind of, there was kind of a warm-up process mm-hmm. where we did those first couple nights and then the first couple games before the opening ceremonies, and then we really hit stride, you know, over the weekend once we had a lot of concurrent sporting events happening.
Yeah.
And then we hit maximum concurrent events on that Wednesday night of the following week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that Wednesday night must have been some type of event. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you started out kind of slow. You had the warm-up, then the opening ceremony started. And then as the events got bigger, I'm sure you saw more and more people start showing up. And
yeah, traffic was actually very good. I mean, there was obviously a ramp-up period, you know, especially in the first couple of days. People were understanding what was going on. And then there was the on-air promotion from NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, like, opening ceremonies, like, then everyone kicks in and said, oh, the Olympics are happening, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, after we got past that point, we saw, you know, steady flow of traffic and then incremental traffic as the days continued.
Great.
That Wednesday night was kind of mayhem though, because there were so many live events going on, and uh-huh. you're looking at the live board and you're like, okay, there's baseball, there's basketball, there's, you know, a bunch of, you know, can only watch one thing at once. But
yeah, right. Yeah. Well, unless you're in the control room, right?
Yeah,
just to plug the feature.
Unless you're in the control room, where we had the privilege, like, we were actually seeing all the live feeds, mm-hmm. you know, at NBC on the floor. So Jason Seuss and myself, and then some of the other folks from Limelight, like, we were, mm-hmm. you know, we could see all the live feeds coming up from the internal system. So that was cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, stats wise, I mean, I think, you know, NBC quoted we were at 25 million unique visitors. We've done 500 million paid views. We've done over 22 million video streams, and uh-huh. about 50% of the traffic is coming to the site with Silverlight 2 installed.
Wow.
So, you know, we've seen that ramp up, but, uh-huh. you know, basically what's happening is, you know, we're getting lots of repeat business from people who love the Olympics, Olympic fanatics, and then we're seeing, you know, incremental traffic as new people come in mm-hmm. To watch new content.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, cool. So, actually, if we could, I have a few questions from the viewers.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, let me just...
I like your card. I like your cards, by the way.
Yes, that's a hint, the drawing on the back there.
All right.
So, if you can guess, why is it U.S. only? Everybody's been asking. What's the real answer?
Yeah, so the real answer is, first of all, that obviously the Olympics aren't U.S. only. The Olympics are worldwide, right?
Yeah.
And the way licensing works is the IOC, the governing body around the Olympics, they license those content rights to content owners and distributors, mm-hmm. NBC being one of them. And they're licensed by geographic regions, so people purchase those rights for particular geographic regions. So in mm-hmm. this case, NBC purchased the rights for the United States. And then they have to respect those rights because the same person who bought those rights in Canada or in Italy, et cetera. They want to ensure that the content is, you know, being delivered and consumed by the target audience that they were going after. So in this case, NBC owns those rights for the U.S., and people that want to see NBC content in the U.S., they get to see it.
Okay, so great. Yeah. Makes sense. So the next question, skipping forward is really fast. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah, yes. The little runner, yeah.
He's trying to skip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you know, I've seen that mentioned in comments everywhere. I mean, online, the Silver Light Olympics, big discussion online.
Yeah.
And tons of comments. And I have seen a lot of, like, you know, talking about the quality, and, like, one of the guys noticed how he would skip forward and, I mean, I don't know what this is technically, but he explained it as, like, as you skip forward, it doesn't give you the full quality, so it can skip forward faster. Is that true? Or I mean, how?
Yeah. So the way it works is, if you're looking at non-live content, so obviously you can't fast forward for live events.
Right.
That's the next killer feature. Yeah. We'll do that in the next version. You can actually fast forward ahead in live events. But yeah. So for non-live events, the way it works is, you can basically drag the scrubber and go to a particular time point. And the Silverlight player will go and grab the appropriate kind of chunk or file that represents that time region, and then render those frames.
Okay.
So that's
and then there's different qualities, right?
Yeah, there's different qualities. There's actually two different types of what I guess you could refer to them as on-demand streams. So if it's not live, it's going to be, you know, in essence on-demand.
Right.
And there's this section of content that's single bit rate, so you can still scrub on it, but you're only going to get one bit rate for that. And then there's another section of content that's multi-bit rate. So whenever you scrub to a particular point, the Silverlight player will basically look at kind of what's going on with your machine and network and say, oh, you know, I think Atom is capable of rendering 800K or 1.2 megabit or 1.5 megabit.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's more than likely, that's probably what that person was seeing, is as they were scrubbing, we're scaling down. If it was multi-bit rate content, kind of scale down at first to make sure, well, hey, we don't want to deliver you the heaviest frame first in case you can't, you know, your PC can't play that back.
So that's, I mean, that's really cool. And that's happening on the server, right? It's not on the client side.
No, it's all client. It's all client side. Yeah, the server's just a, you know,
It's just serving files.
Yeah, okay. Serving them as fast as they can.
Even better then.
Yeah.
So the process, you know, the processing is distributed then on the client, right?
Yeah. We actually did a lot of work to, you know, make sure that we harnessed as much power as we possibly could, you know, out of the client and use its CPU processing, you know, multi-core processing, as possible.
Cool. Yeah. So, where is the full screen mode?
Full screen mode.
Yeah.
Can I keep these?
Yeah. I got to get a picture first. But yeah. So
well, this is actually full screen mode here.
Right. Okay.
And I think we talked a little bit about this last time, where you know, full screen is we call this enhanced mode. Mm-hmm. So we had to make some decisions about video size and quality. So what you're seeing here is in essence the native resolution that we encode at as far as the size.
Okay.
Turns out scaling is you know, one, causes video problems. I mean, you guys are in the video business on Channel 9, so you know what scaling video looks like. It gets
quality-wise, native resolution.
So native resolution, native quality, that's kind of one reason why we do this. And the second reason is just kind of the amount of real estate that we were able to use. There's certain contractual requirements from a licensing perspective about how much of the video screen you can actually take up with video versus advertising.
Yeah. Okay. So, and there's probably also even a bit of the, like, the computers we're used to compared to the audience that we're used to being, you know, people in technology where we have the latest and greatest machines, the biggest monitors, where, like, my mom does not. You know, so I'm just, you know, I'm guessing that's part of it, too.
Yeah, so you look at, you know, everyone kind of programs to kind of the 1024, 768 mode, which is, you know, what we're running in here. So, you know, it fits up the majority of the screen, but we still have enough real estate around to accommodate banner ads and some of the branding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one.
Which one is this?
Why'd they choose a beta product?
Why did they choose a beta product?
And this one actually reminds me of the end of the last video where, you know, we talked about just it's ready, right? In this sense, right?
Yeah, I think the web model across a bunch of different vendors, in addition to Microsoft, has kind of changed what kind of alpha, beta, RTM mm-hmm. really means.
Yeah.
In the first version of Silverlight, people were out going live with pre-RTM bits. Mm-hmm. We had folks at Mix who were going live with product on those builds.
Right.
And it really came down to a function of, was the product ready for what needed to be accomplished
right.
in the application? Could we meet the business needs, in this case of NBC, and really the style of application? Could we meet the business needs of a heavy video-based application that was mm-hmm. aggregating content from multiple places and do it in a stable environment?
Right.
And that was the reason why they chose it, because we said, okay, we can do all these things. We'll make sure that it's rock solid, both for your particular application, plus mm-hmm. the rest of our customers who are also targeting similar experiences like the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
And CBS. CBS went live a couple weeks ago with an application.
Okay.
That was the decision.
Right. Yeah. Well, that leads us right into the next question.
Yeah.
So can we expect the same for 2010 Vancouver?
Well, I sure hope so.
okay.
So the folks in our business development organization, et cetera, you know, folks in MSN who have good marketing relationship with, mm-hmm. with NBC, you know, I'm sure they're having all types of conversations. You know, on the evangelism side, we look at this very pragmatically. Like,
right.
if it works and it works well, we're going to go and talk to as many people as possible and try to spread the word and get them to understand what we're doing. And if it's not, we're going to go back and fix it and we're going to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be more than happy to take on, you know, 2010 or any other major sporting event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you mentioned the DNC or the Democratic National Convention. So
yeah.
this, it's, you're really kind of talking to a different model or, I mean, just this is a great first example of what you can do with it, right? With the technology.
Yeah, and I think that's the really interesting backstory is that, yes, this was about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
It's being done at Olympic scale. It's the kind of the first time that people have gotten to see all that content that has never been distributed before.
Mm-hmm.
And the backstory is that this is really kind of the summer or the coming out of nonlinear video programming for
yeah.
the web. So you can go and watch, you know, all that high production value content on
right.
TV. NBC's done a great job, you know, with the time slots that they have, and Bob Costas
mm-hmm.
is great, and
yes.
you know, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
But there's so much content out there that people want to have access to.
Right.
And we've seen that through the feedback. Like, people are writing in saying, I'm so happy I get to watch, you know, the dressing competition, or
yeah.
I've never watched Saber before, or handball, yeah. or ping pong.
It's like, badminton.
Yeah, badminton.
I've never
yeah.
seen badminton before. I was
yeah.
like, oh my God.
The gymnastics.
Like, it's so
yeah.
great.
Yeah, the gymnastics, you uh-huh. know, the fanatics that are out there just totally blown away
right.
that they get to see all this. So it's proving out the model that kind of this nonlinear kind of multi-channel model works. It can be done at scale. It can be done in a near solid state environment that,
mm-hmm.
that works repeatedly. That was one of NBC's goals. They wanted to basically kind of push this content out into multi-channels and
mm-hmm.
reach a broad audience on the web. We proved it there. The DNC coming up in 2 weeks, same challenge. Like
yeah.
the DNCC, they want to reach an audience beyond television. They want to show a more intimate view about what's going on at the Pepsi Center, you know, behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they think there's a lot of value in that. So, you know, we have the technology right. to get them there.
So you mentioned the DNC.
Yeah.
Would you come on the show again and tell us about that when it happens?
Sure, yeah. I'd be more than happy to come back. In fact, hopefully by that time we'll know who the vice presidential candidate is.
Yes.
So not only can
yeah.
we talk about the experience, but maybe we can talk a little politics.
That'd be great.
Cool.
I'm in for that.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.